Good morning, everybody. Well, we all like eating together, don't we? It's a lovely thing to do. It's an opportunity just to sit in a relaxed environment and you can eat, tick. You can just spend time with one another. People like to do it going out, or people like to do it staying at home to eat together, or getting a takeaway in, or going out for a picnic. You know, so many opportunities where you can just spend time together over food. And that's a lovely thing to do. It's not only the church that's that recognise the value of food. New research in the University of Oxford has revealed that more often people eat with each other, the more likely are they to feel happy and satisfied with their lives. There you go. So that's it. It's true. And it's not surprising, therefore, that Jesus took opportunities with people eating together to share truth, to talk about his life, to talk about himself, to talk about the kingdom of God. And that's a little series that we're going to start looking at. Glyn introduced it last week, showed us this slide, Food for Thought, looking at times when Jesus met with people, those that knew him, those that didn't know him at that stage, spent time talking to them over food and revealing things about truth, challenges, lessons, even revealing miraculous powers over a meal. Now, we're very fortunate in this country because you have all these things that are for free. It's absolutely wonderful. Doctors and nurses, NHS, fantastic. I don't think I've ever been to the doctors and I said, oh, my back's hurting, doctor. And he says, well, I'll fix it for you, but that'll be 20 quid. No, it's not happened. These guys, got police and police community officers. Somebody burgled my house and he came around and said, well, I'll find out who it was, but it's going to cost you. No, that doesn't tend to happen very much. That's right. I'm sorry your house burnt down. I'll get my hose out, but it's going to cost you. It's not usually that way, is it? All these things in our country, ambulance service tends to be, you know, free. It's great. My bins build up outside my house, and bizarrely, every Monday morning, somebody comes and takes it away, and they've never asked for a penny. It's great. People make sure my roads are safe. I think my family question whether my driving makes them safe, but the roads are safe and, make sure the lights are working and all these things, all for free in this country. It's really great. Oh, this is great, isn't it? Tomorrow morning, you're going to go in, somebody's going to say, it's only going to cost you £5 and I'm going to teach you some maths. That's going to be great, isn't it? Literacy, this morning, it's only a fiver. That's great. No, well, generally, you know, these things for us, most of the time, you might think they're free. But of course, they actually cost a lot of money, a lot of money. And the way these things get paid for, now many of you will know this because you're involved in the process, but some of you might not know, that the way these things get paid for is the people that we vote for, the people that run our governments and our councils, they're responsible both in deciding how money gets spent, but also how it gets collected. And usually when people start to get a job and they start to make some money, then some of that money goes into this big pot. It's not an actual pot, but we'll call it a pot. And we pay through. Anybody remember this little man? This is the tax man. And the tax man likes to, well, I don't know if he likes it or not, but it's his job to collect some money from those of us who earn some money each month. And different ways taxes are collected. And the taxes go towards funding the things that are given to us in this country. And that's why we pay taxes. And generally, you know, there might be some people who have questioned this one or that one, but generally, I think we'd agree that generally, it's not a bad system. The more you earn, the more tax you pay. If you don't earn enough money or don't earn any money, you don't pay any tax at all. But the services are there for all of us. It's, you know, it's a good system. People fill in, you know, pay their money month by month. As they earn some money, they pay some tax. They earn some money, they pay some tax. But just to make sure at the end of the year that that's all the right amount, people sometimes have to fill in a tax return. That just means it just has information about everything that they've earned, everything that they've spent, all the different things, put it all on a form. It's called a tax return, and that gets sent off. And a long time ago, it was really, 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 really complicated, and people used to get their accountants to do it and things like that. But nowadays, it's much easier, and you can do it yourself. And so they introduced this thing called self-assessment. You assess your own tax. And so sometimes you can do it online. And so we've got tax, self-assessment, and returns. And if you'd notice on the notice sheet, that's actually what I've called this morning's message. Bizarre, isn't it? Tax, self-assessment, and returns. You might be thinking, I thought I came to church this morning. Why would I call it such a thing? What's it got to do with food for thought? That's the question that I wanted to ask you. What's it got to do with food for thought? Well, we're going to be looking at two men and their lives. Two men that met with Jesus over a meal. One happened up in the north, near Galilee. One happened down in the south, in Jericho. Two different parts of the country. They happened at very different times. The first one, up in the north, that happened an early time in Jesus' ministry. He hadn't been talking to people for very long. After he started to reveal that he was who he was and God's son. And he was there ministering around the area of Galilee. And there was a case there where he met with a man and they went for a meal. And there was another one much later on, actually when he was on his way to, this little thing, when he was on his way here to Jerusalem, which was where he ultimately was crucified. And it was on that final stage of his life. And he went through Jericho and he met another man and he had a meal with him. And the thing that links these two men is they were both tax collectors. Do you think they looked like that?
No.
Maybe they looked a bit more like this. Maybe. So here we've got two men. They were tax collectors. They met with Jesus over a meal, two different times. And we're going to be thinking a little bit about that today. But before we do that, we need a trip to the doctors.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, two tablets should be enough. No. Well, if it doesn't work out, possibly need another two tablets. Okay, thanks, Moses. Speak again soon. Okay, then. Bye now. Okay, Brenda, can you send in the next patient, please?
Morning, Doctor. How you doing? All right, Doc, all right.
Come and take a seat. Mr. Right Jack, is it?
Yes, that's right. Or should I say, that's right, Jack.
Yes, Mr. Ian Malcolm, right, Jack?
Yes, that is my full name, although my friends call me Mal.
So, Mal Right Jack.
Yes, although I like to retain the initial I. I think it makes me sound more distinguished.
So it's Mr. I'm Mal Right Jack.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, so what seems to be the problem?
Come again?
What's wrong with you?
With me?
Well, yes, I assume that's why you've come to see me.
What on earth gave you that impression?
Well, I'm a doctor.
Oh, right, I see. No, there's nothing wrong with me. Fit as a fiddle, always have been.
Well, I couldn't help but notice your limp.
Limp?
Yes, you were limping as you came in.
I don't have a limp, look. Just a bit of stiffness, that's all it is.
Well, perhaps it's your eye then.
What?
Well, you seem to have something in your eye that surely is impairing your vision.
Impairing my vision? What are you talking about? 20/20 vision, me?
Well, can you read the third line of the eye test, please?
Of course I can't. It's all a jumble of letters, man.
Well, let me just try and see if I can help you to see better.
Hey, keep your hands off me.
Well, I'm just trying to remove this thing that's in your eye.
No. Now, look here. I don't know who you think you are, but I will not have you poking about in my eye. That's not why I came to see you.
Well, why did you come to see me?
I came because I have a complaint.
Ah, now we're getting to the crux of the matter then. So there is something wrong with you. Okay, so what kind of complaint have you got? Have you got an upset stomach or perhaps a skin rash?
I've told you there's nothing wrong with me. My complaint is about the people who come to see you.
Sorry?
And so you should be. It's disgraceful. We get people in wheelchairs, on crutches, all sorts of unmentionable diseases.
But I'm a doctor.
That's beside the point. I am warning you, Doctor. It's lowering the tone of the neighbourhood. These people have no business being here.
This is a doctor's surgery. Where else could they go?
That is no concern of mine, and I am warning you, doctor. Either you take action to remove these people, or I will take action to remove you. You have been warned. Good day, sir.
Thank you, Glyn and Stephen. We're going to see a little video now, telling that tale slightly differently. Thank you.
Once again, Jesus went to the shore of Lake Galilee. A large crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Levi was sitting at the place for paying taxes, and Jesus said to him, "Come with me." So he got up and went with Jesus. Later, Jesus and his disciples were having dinner at Levi's house. Many tax collectors and other sinners had become followers of Jesus, and they were also guests at the dinner. Some of the teachers of the law of Moses were Pharisees, and they saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors. So they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard them and answered, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to invite good people to be my followers. I came to invite sinners."
Jesus was going through Jericho, where a man named Zacchaeus lived. He was in charge of collecting taxes and was very rich. Jesus was heading his way, and Zacchaeus wanted to see what he was like. But Zacchaeus was a short man and could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. When Jesus got there, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. I want to stay with you today." Zacchaeus hurried down and gladly welcomed Jesus. Everyone who saw this started grumbling.
"This man Zacchaeus is a sinner, and Jesus is going home to eat with him."
Later that day, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord,
"I will give half of my property to the poor, and I will now pay back four times as much to everyone I have ever cheated."
Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, you and your family have been saved, because you are a true son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to look for and to save people who are lost."
So, we've heard a story today of these two men, Levi, Zacchaeus, and no one liked them very much, and for good reason. They were tax collectors, weren't they? They took the money from people. They took the money, gave it to the Romans, kept some for themselves. People just did not like them at all. They might have, well, they probably cheated. We know for sure that Zacchaeus cheated because he said that he would repay those that he cheated. And they were just looked down upon by everybody. People didn't like them. The religious rulers, they really thought, not only did they not like them, they thought they were so bad, you shouldn't associate with them. You shouldn't be with them. You certainly shouldn't eat with them. Oh my goodness, you wouldn't want to do that, would you? But because they were tax collectors. But Jesus was different. Jesus wanted to spend time with them. He wanted to eat with them. We talked at the beginning, didn't we, about when you eat with people, you have that relaxed environment. You can spend time. You can get to know people. People can get to know you. And it's more than just quickly stuffing your face full of chips. It's about using an opportunity in a relaxed setting to talk about what's important. And Jesus wanted to do that with these two men and their families and their friends. As Jesus explained to the people who were criticizing him, he said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. Not like I'm all right, Jack. What's he? I'm all right, Jack. It's not like him who said, you know, I don't need a doctor. It was for the sick who need a doctor. That's why Jesus came. He said, I came like that doctor for the sick people, those that make mistakes in life, those that have, you know, done things wrong, those that other people think of as sinful, but really, aren't we all sinful? Don't we all make mistakes? Didn't the Pharisees make mistakes? Jesus said, I came not for the righteous, but for the sinful, like a doctor is for the sick. And while he ate with them, he taught them. And we can see that because we don't know exactly what he said, but we know that their lives changed. And when they listened to Jesus, what did they do? They thought about their lives. They did some self-assessment. They looked at their own. They didn't do their self-assessment of their taxes. They assessed themselves. They thought, oh my goodness, my life's not as it should be. Here's Jesus. He's telling me about the kingdom of God. I want to know more about that. I want to follow this Jesus. They assessed their lives and they made changes. Levi, he gave up. Do you remember in the video it said he got up, he left everything when Jesus came along. He got up and he left everything and he followed Jesus. So he got this booth, this desk, if you like, this place where he's collecting money. Got up, left it, walked off, followed Jesus. And so we've talked about him being called Levi here, but if you're reading Matthew's gospel, it's clear that the same man is called Matthew. And he is the Matthew who followed Jesus, not just for a day, not just for the day that then had, and then he had a banquet. He followed Jesus. He became a disciple. He became an apostle. He wrote a gospel. And ultimately, he followed Jesus to the end of his life. And Zacchaeus, well, he was this little rich man. No one would even let him through the crowd. He had to go and climb a tree. And he became a generous giver and a restorer of wrongs. He did things to change things, to put things right because of the things that Jesus said to him. And, you know, he gets a bad press, I think, Zacchaeus, you know, taking all this money. But I don't know what your maths is like. I don't know if any of you can think. If a 1/8 of his wealth was down to cheating, well, just 1/8, I don't know if you can tell me how much money he had left after this little exercise. I'll let you think about that. He gave away half and he repaid 4 times as much to those that he'd done wrong. Anyway, okay, I'll tell you, nothing. If 1/8 of his wealth was down to cheating, then by that sum, he had nothing at all. So maybe it wasn't nothing, maybe he had a little bit left, but he clearly went from a man who was all about the money to a man for whom money was not a thing anymore. It wasn't big. He wanted to know about Jesus. And the money side of things, well, he would need some money to live, clearly. But for this moment, it wasn't the important thing. And both men, their lives changed. And what did they do? They returned to God. They returned to follow Jesus. And they sought after him. They'd been in tax, they did some self-assessment, and they returned. You might remember that little phrase from earlier on. So hopefully that makes some sense now. The other thing about tax, as some of you will know, makes me shudder to think about it, but the 20th of January every year, I go, oh my goodness, I've not done my tax return. There is a deadline for these things. You have to fill it in, you have to send it off, you have to make sure it's done, otherwise there's a penalty. That's worth noting, because what about us today? Following our recent tradition of, you know, art appearing on slides, Holman Hunt's Light of the World. You'll have seen this in this building before. I've seen it several times, been using this illustration. But there's a picture of Jesus. I know it's not ever so clear here, but a picture of Jesus, and he's standing at a door, which is all dusty and overgrown with weeds, and he's there and he's knocking on the door. And the door actually hasn't got a handle on this side. It needs to be opened from the other side. And this is often accredited to a verse in the Bible in Revelation where Jesus says, this is the risen Jesus, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Even now, even after Jesus has died for our sins, even after he's been brought back to life, resurrected to life, the cry from Jesus is, I want to come and I want to eat with you. It might not be physical food at this time in our lives, but he wants to spend time with us in that same way. He wants us to get to know him. Well, he already knows us already, but spending that time in relationship with Jesus. And there will be a deadline. It might not be the 31st of January, but there will be a deadline. And we need to make sure that I've dropped the word tax now. It's not important. What's important is that we assess our own lives and we return to God. There will be a time when we'll be around a big table. It'll be an enormous table. The wedding feast of the Lamb, which he talks about in Revelation. And that is our food for thought today. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you didn't stay far away from Zacchaeus and Levi. You didn't stay far away from many others at that time, and you don't stay far away from us. Thank you that you long to be in fellowship with us and us in fellowship with you. Help us, Lord, today to open that door and allow you in. Help me, Lord, help my friends here to do that we might know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.